You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Louisiana, a man's attempted suicide does not go as planned after he murders his father and his daughter. In Tennessee, the search for a missing Missouri student named Riley Strain continues now into its second week. And defense attorneys file a motion in the Madison Brooks case. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, March 20th on Real Life for a Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Hey, boys, welcome boys. Back, Woody.
Good to be back. Good to be back. I'm going to give a quick shout out to all the parole officers and probation officers and all the great people. I got to meet at that conference last week. You forget a lot of times about in the criminal justice system what these people do. And it's not just every time you go to court and people get sentenced and they get put on probation, there's a probation officer standing there and they hand them a paper to go do whatever. And it's not just about the parole officer supervise the inmates when they get out, but they all these different programs they have, from treatment centers to, halfway houses to whatever. It's pretty cool. It made me think of a lot more than I normally think of. But I think I got some of them in trouble because at the end I said, and I just want to thank y'all, because over the years, my parole officers, I had them on speed dial. And because parole officers, if you're on paper is what they call it, if you're on parole, you don't have to have a search warrant to go hit the house. You just call the parole officer and get him to do a check, right? He doesn't need a search warrant.
Oh.
But evidently I wasn't supposed to say that. They said the supervisors were cringing and shit. They were telling me afterwards, like, oh God, I can't believe you said that. We're going to get dressed down to meet us. Sorry, boys, but I did used to use them. But they were great people. Got the judge to cook off. Shout out to Donaldsonville for winning the judges, and Rapides Parish, believe it or not, won the People's Choice. But it was awesome.
Wow, very good.
Sounds great. Now, are you excited about our little road trip?
I'm excited, man. And the United Mole Stomping Grounds, Lafayette, Broussard, et cetera. I was doing Broussard before there was anything in Broussard, and now it's all developed up, and we're going to that giant American flag, Parish Forensics, going to get to go to dinner with Roy and Kristen and Kristen.
Right? Yes, we are. You're going to behave yourself.
I'm going to behave myself, and I'll be a gentleman. And but, yes, it's going to be an exciting trip, and I can't wait to see. So, Jim, I heard y'all talking about on the show the other day when I wasn't here. You said you're not going in because you don't want to unsee things.
No, that's right.
That's not the problem. You're going to get to smell it regardless.
Yeah. I'm desensitized. I was in paint for some years. I can't smell shit anymore.
Yeah, but you can smell this. But anyway, we'll see how it's
going.
Well,
I've been working. I'm going to bring my own scalpel. Really trying.
Yeah,
convince.
There's defense
Roy
attorneys out there
to
all
let
over.
Me just put just a little incision.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. But I'm really interested in seeing the pet side too. My oldest female dog just had another litter of puppies. And
oh, my goodness.
They get shipped all over the United States. I want to see that. I want to see the facility. I think your mind's going to get blown, because I got to talk to him a lot at the LOPA and the Deaf Investigator Conference, and they have some amazing products. Not just for the pets. I'm talking about for the criminal side. Shit that I mean. instant toxicology reports, not just quantitative, but qualitative immediately, which all you could do in the past is just take that big ass needle when you're on the scene and jam it into their what's the piss that called?
Liver.
Yeah, well, no, it's your wherever.
Bladder.
Yeah, into the bladder. And they take it out and put it on the thing. They put it on the thing, and it would tell you what's in there, but not how much or anything like that. Now they've got a new product, which we'll talk about.
Well, and they also told me about another innovation that I think we'll be ready to announce when we get back that is that is pretty cool. So we're really looking forward to being there with Roy and the two Christians at Louisiana Funeral Services and Pet Crematory.
Whether it's a family pet or a family member, whether it's a direct cremation or a traditional two-day funeral service with a graveside burial, you know what to do. Call 1-800-FUNERAL. That's 1-800-FUNERAL or go to lafuneralservices.com or lapetcrematory.com. That's lafuneralservices.com or lapetcrematory.com. Rest easy.
Great to be back in the saddle, and let's get down to some true crime time for Wednesday.
All right, and we're gonna start right here at home in the Baton Rouge, Louisiana area. And sad story coming out of here. A man is accused of killing his father and daughter before shooting himself. This occurred Friday after deputies determined that he had made up a story about an intruder committing the crimes. So deputies were called to a home in the Shenandoah subdivision shortly before 2 p.m. on Friday. Brent DeLoach, who is 63, reported that a man he didn't know had come into the house and shot him and his 30-year-old daughter, Christina DeLoach, who was found dead. Christina was shot multiple times and two shell casings were on the floor nearby. Brent DeLoach, who had been shot in the abdomen, was armed when deputies arrived. He said he shot back at the assailant. Paramedics then took DeLoach to a hospital where he was rushed into surgery. As deputies searched the home, they found Brent's father, 84-year-old Sidney DeLoach, tucked into bed. They tried to wake him up, and when they couldn't, they discovered blood on the inside of his blanket and then found that he had been shot repeatedly in the upper torso. Four shell casings, a bullet projectile, and one live bullet laid on that bedroom floor. Investigators also found a shell casing on the sofa in the den next to a handgun. The home, which showed no evidence of a break-in, did have surveillance cameras at the front door. The records show that Christina DeLoach went into the house, left moments later with Brent DeLoach behind her. They argued in the driveway and then went back inside. The video showed deputies arriving a short time later. Investigators said the evidence indicated that Brent DeLoach shot his father and then shot his daughter. They believe he shot himself last. Hospital staff told deputies Brent DeLoach wounds to the upper abdomen were not life-threatening, and he will be booked into jail when he is released from the hospital. Now, Brent and Christina DeLoach, they actually owned a company together that was called Quick Glow Chrome Cleaner and Rust Remover. This product was actually once featured on the television show Jay Leno's Garage. So this was a father and daughter that worked together. Now, as I was putting this story together, some new details did come out that need to be mentioned. And first of all, I want to thank Kieran Chawla with Unfiltered with Kieran, who actually got an interview with the father of Christina DeLoach's child. So Christina had a 10-year-old boy, and the boy's father is a firefighter with the Central Fire Department. His name is Ashton Hughes, and Christina, although they were not married, they co-parented this young boy. They got along great. They were really like besties. And she called him that day. She was freaking out, screaming into the phone, and wasn't really making a whole lot of sense. He tried to calm her down and get more information, and she said that her grandfather had died, and she was on the way to her dad's house to see what was going on. Mm-hmm. They hang up. He gets home around 5 o'clock that evening, and he shoots her a text. Hadn't heard from her, you know, for obvious reasons now that we know. But his fire chief called him and asked if he had spoke to Christina because that name came up as one of the people involved in that shooting. After he clears this smoke, he calls and speaks to detectives, and they offered some insight into how they think that things might have played out. From what the detectives told him, there was really no telling how long it had been since the dad had been shot, Brent DeLoach's dad. So detectives also told him that she got there and just wanted to see the grandpa, and he wouldn't let her, is what they're ascertaining from the surveillance video. The surveillance video then showed her going back out to the car and the dad, Brent DeLoach, following her. And then they both go back inside. A couple of minutes later, that 911 call was made. But when they got back inside, and this is him just thinking, you know, here's what I think happened. He's thinking that she tried to force her way past Brent to go see her grandpa. They said as soon as she saw that grandpa was shot, that's when he shot her twice. Nobody knows why, and I don't think we'll ever know why. Hughes was shocked about the news that her dad killed her because they were so close. I know he worshiped the ground she walked on. Anything she wanted, she got it since day one, like since she was born. She was the definition of a daddy's girl who got spoiled by her dad. Not in a bad way, just saying he would do anything for her. So I don't know what made him snap and do what he did. The two were in business together with Brent, as I told you, appearing on Jay Leno's show about a decade ago. Hughes recalls Christina DeLoach telling her dad telling him that her dad abruptly sold that company a few years ago. Now Hughes and many others want to understand why. And I actually know several people personally that know both Christina and her dad, and all the comments are the same. Every single person that I've talked to regarding this is in absolute shock. And it makes no sense to them. It is totally out of character for these people, and we may never know why, but horrible, awful situation that none of us can ever imagine.
No, a couple things pop in my mind. One, there's a lot more investigation to be done. They're going to find out when the last time the grandfather was, you know, seen on the camera outside or what have you. His search history. You don't just shoot yourself in the abdomen if you're going to kill yourself, or say if you intended to kill yourself. You know, although I've had a lot of people who've shot themselves in the head and did not successfully kill themselves. One guy blew his face off and still lived. I would search his search history, and I bet he's, you know, knows. It'll show that he knows where to have shot himself, where he doesn't kill himself. But I don't know how the fuck you think you're going to get away with saying somebody broke in, and when you know you got a Ring camera or whatever type of surveillance camera that you have. Absolutely horrible for this young lady. You don't ever know what goes on behind closed doors. But the very fact that he tried to cover it up, saying, and by shooting himself, death penalty. You killed your father and your daughter. Fuck him.
Yeah.
I don't care how good of a guy he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but motive, financial maybe? They got into some kind of trouble. You said they sold that company a while ago. I don't know.
Dad shot in the bed. Hopefully he was asleep. Yeah, I was listening to you talk on Bloody Angola about with Burrito, and this is, you know, to be second degree or first degree, you have to have specific intent. And people think that's like planted out and shit. That's not true. If a mosquito lands on my hand right now and it bites me and I'm just slapping it, I mean, like we all would,
That's intent.
I had a specific intent to kill that mosquito, even though you're not thinking about it. So yeah. This dude, I'm glad they got the death penalty back in Louisiana.
Yeah, and unbelievable that with all of those different people saying that there was a very strong relationship between him and the daughter, I can't imagine what went on between the two of them that would cause him to shoot her.
Nothing could be bad enough, yeah. I can tell you that. Yeah. There's no excuse that
no financial
would ever make sense.
I mean, even if she saw the dead grandfather, he could have just let her go.
Yeah, that's why anytime this happens today, there's no ever any, there's nothing I've ever seen to say, oh, well, that's why I did
it. Right, right. Prayers, no matter what it is. All that loved him. It's crazy.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple. And in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, from one Baton Rouge tragedy to another, I'm not going to go back and review all of the major facts about the Madison Brooks case. I mean, we've been covering it for well over a year now, and certainly it's been in the news for well over a year. So I'm assuming that the listeners of the show are aware of the story. Obviously, if you're not and you're a newcomer to the show, you can just Google Madison Brooks and check on the story. But what's going on right now is that a defense lawyer who is representing one of the four that are accused in this case, Cason Carver, his attorney has filed a motion that has stirred a lot of things up in this case. So here's the general layout of this. The lawyer representing Carver is claiming that it's crucial that he speak to a man who Madison Brooks supposedly had consensual sex with 24 hours before she had she was allegedly raped by three of the four accused. Joe Long, who is representing Carver, filed a motion last Monday to subpoena and interview an unnamed LSU male student and one of Brooks's female friends. So that LSU male student is the one who supposedly had sex with Brooks the day before the attack, and the woman that they're talking about, supposedly a witness, not directly to the to sex with the LSU male student, but she supposedly picked Madison up from that student's apartment, and during the drive, wherever they were going with Madison afterward, Madison shared that she had had sex with him, and they talked about the encounter. So the so Long is trying to get both of those people subpoenaed. Apparently, neither one wants to come forward and tell any stories, so they would have to be compelled to do that. But the motion itself is really being called into question, and the attorneys on the prosecution side are not happy about it at all. And so you have both the attorney for the Brooks family as well as the DA who are challenging the situation here and the right of Long to file this motion. So we're completely disgusted by this tactic. You can't just file a public document like this. There's a policy to follow, not to violate the rape shield law, which I think he did, but that'll be decided by the court. That was the Brooks family attorney who said that. Carver is 19 years old. He's one of the four suspects charged in this case, which is from January of 2023. Carver was indicted on two separate occasions on charges of video voyeurism. He's the one who took this video that most of the that has not been released publicly, but some people have seen anyway, as well as first and third degree rape. He's pleaded not guilty to all charges. District Attorney Moore's office filed paperwork last Tuesday asking a judge to seal this motion that that was filed by Long. Kerry Miller, who is the family attorney, is also you know, trying to stop this from being admitted. Moore says the evidence related to a victim's past sexual behavior shall only be viewed privately by a judge so that a judge can determine whether it is admissible. The district attorney claims that Long knows better and cannot claim, quote, ignorance of the law. He also questioned how several news outlets gained access to Long's filing when Moore says that the filing should have been submitted as a, quote, sealed package as part of the record in this case. So while all of this is between the attorney for Carver and the DA, the court's decision here could obviously impact the other three suspects, Everett Lee, Kayvon Washington, and Desmond Carter as well. Each of the suspects pleaded not guilty to all charges. If the judge approves the motion, Long is asking for a preliminary hearing to be held on April 30th. And so look at all of this, and I'm confused, and hopefully we can have a conversation about this, guys. So, you know, what good does it do to establish a victim as promiscuous, which I would assume from the evidence he's trying to get in, he's trying to get on the record that Madison Brooks had a history of promiscuity, but, and
I agree with you. I think that's exactly why he's doing that, and it does no good because you can be raped and actually have sex the day before.
Okay, hang on a second. Okay. So is he doing? But is it maybe he's doing it just to try and get it in the news? He knows he's not going. It's not going to.
I think the court of public opinion definitely plays a part, and you know, although that may or may not influence someone that's on the jury, the relevancy of that, it contains no relevancy. Just because, heck, I had sex last week. If I get raped tomorrow, does that mean I didn't get raped? I mean, if I had sex last night, I can still get raped tomorrow.
Joe Long should be ashamed of himself. I know him. It's a defense tactic, certainly, whether it's to influence the jury pool, possible jury pool or whatever. Yeah, he's trying to do something to throw shade on Madison, and it has nothing to do with her getting raped the next day and getting intoxicated and raped the next day and turned down track for where ultimately she got killed. Shame, shame, shame. That's a fucked up play. And it sounds like he's going to get his ass hammered because the DA and Hillamore ain't going to put up with that shit. Mm-mm.
So I think we all agree with that.
Yeah.
But what it, to me, as somebody from the outside, basically, I think I had lived here 6 months when this whole thing happened. And I've seen some things play out somewhat similarly in California where a defense attorney is playing with the rules, bending the rules, maybe playing outside of the rules to get things into the public conversation because they want to infect a potential jury pool. Yeah. And, you know, this is a case, again, from the outside looking in, where you could see it becoming about the construction of a jury pool rather than justice,
it's bullshit. I hate to interrupt you, bro. It's bullshit. This tactic is tried all the times in different types of ways. But if you ever sat through a full voir dire. And I've covered someone in real life, real crime, the original cases, even death penalty cases, et cetera, where these challenges are brought up by the convicted. Well, this person said their nephew was raped when he was a kid, and it was a child sex case, right? And that they were like, okay, will that influence your decision to be impartial in this case? And they said no, right? And the judge questioned about it again. Are you sure you can be impartial? And the person was like, well, prosecution's got to prove its side. And if they do that beyond a reasonable doubt, then no, it has nothing to do. See what I'm saying? And it's just bullshit. You can't influence a jury pool. You just can't. I mean, now, if it's, you know, burned or did all this stuff and whatever fuck that they're going to make sure that the jury pool is correct because no judge wants it turned over on appeal. Now that's being said, it's a shitty fucking douchebag tactic by Joe Long, period. And it's possible what y'all are not thinking about. And Joe Long should have known better to do than he's trying to throw enough shade on Madison where he can get a better plea deal for his client. Well, guess what? Carver ain't getting no fucking plea deal. He's going to prison.
Yeah. And for those that may be unaware of Louisiana's rape shield law and how it pertains to this case, when you subpoena cell phone records, you cannot, as a defense attorney, for example, subpoena more than 24 hours prior to the event, is my understanding. Right. He was wanting to subpoena like 6 months of records, cell phone records, right, prior to the event. And look, you know why he was trying to do that. Everybody here has common sense as to why he'd want to peer in this young lady's cell phone,
right,
6 months prior. And, You know, you don't have to be so slimy. Yeah, in my opinion.
I know, and I would be very surprised if he didn't get some type of sanction for this bullshit. And whoever leaked it to the media is going to be triply fucked if the judge finds out.
Well, again, as the outside guy, you know, I look at how consent is defined in Louisiana law, and you know, it says there is a lack of consent if a person engages in a sexual act with another person by forcible compulsion or with a person who is incapable of consent because he or she is physically helpless, mentally defective, or mentally incapacitated. Mm-hmm. Actually, mentally or because of the victim's age. So this is a case where the mentally incapacitated part of this comes in. And then under
– I would say mentally defective. She wasn't incapacitated.
No, yeah.
She could still walk.
No, wait, you can walk. You can walk and still be
That's why I say defective.
Yeah.
Don't think that's so. Mentally defective means a person that suffers from a mental disease.
Yeah, but she's incapacitated because of the alcohol. Right.
Well, I think that's incapacitated.
Right. Incapacitated.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
It means that a person is temporarily incapable of appreciating or controlling the person's conduct. Right.
Like if you're blacked out drunk, blacked out drunk, still walk before that really didn't. And they're going to bring that shit up and that videos, her coming out of Reggie's and all that. That don't make a fuck. Right?
That's 5 seconds of a night when she was falling down 4 or 5 times in the bar. She was served 19 drinks, and that's per the bar.
Okay, but let me read you what this says, though. So it says mentally incapacitated means the person is temporarily incapable of appreciating or controlling the person's conduct as a result of the influence of a controlled or intoxicating substance.
Okay.
It goes on to say that renders the person unaware a sexual act is occurring. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's part of the incapacitation, is that the person is unaware there's a sex act occurring. Then it also says when criminality of conduct depends on a victim being incapable of consent because he or she is mentally incapacitated, it is, quote, an affirmative defense that the actor reasonably believed that the victim was capable of consent. In other words, that it does come in for the defense for them to be able to say that they believed she was capable of consent.
And they're going to say that. What else are they going to say? But that didn't have dick to do with who she had sex with 24 hours before.
And there were a lot of instances that night that would totally go against a defense saying that. Three times in the bar fell down. He had to help her up one time. Yeah,
but they're going to say – they're gonna, and you know what? They might find a jury that – somebody, it's a gray area for them, you know. But that part I expect. Mm. Don't come and go after this young lady's sexual life
history.
Before this event has nothing to do with it. Mm-mm. Nothing. And look, at that age, I was fucking everything that had a heartbeat. And I guarantee I was having sex probably however many times a week.
That was swim.
Swim was very promiscuous. Okay. If my shit, Swim had ever got his shit brought in, you know, the court, it'd have been all kinds of trouble, but that's bullshit, man.
Yeah.
I feel for her parents. I hate that. I hate it for them. And Geelong.
Yeah. Look, I didn't know the census data for East Baton Rouge Parish, but East Baton Rouge Parish is basically 50-50 black-white. It's 47% mm-hmm. black, 47% white, and almost 5% Latino, right? So probably looking at a 6-6, 5-7 kind of jury.
It doesn't mean they're going to.
No, it does. But look, I came from the city where OJ got off. Okay. So I'm.
OJ is a little more popular than.
I have my own. Well, but this case has, I would say, for the population here, has gotten as, you know, kind of proportional news, at least within the region.
I'm going to take you boys one day And as painful as it's going to be, we're going to sit through however many days of voir dire, and you'll understand that race absolutely does not play a part. Matter of fact, if you challenge your exemptions on either side, if you challenge somebody in a row, then the other side can challenge you in front of the judge saying that you're being racist, the lawyer's being racist, only want to include people of a certain race or female gender, male or female or whatever. That there are so many safeguards in place. I'm not saying they don't get it wrong sometimes, but I'm telling you the makeup of the jury pool. So when they give everybody numbers, right? They don't know if you're white or black or whatever, and you only get so many exemptions. And you know, it's just so much more to it than just thinking because it's 50-50, you're going to get 50-50. It doesn't work like that.
Well, it certainly shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay, but if we look at the last 24 months worth of trial history in this country,
yeah,
it tells a very different story.
Tell you what, and so when Madison comes, we're going to go sit in on that voir dire. That'd be the one for y'all to.
I would.
Can
find
you
that.
Sit in on that? Is that
absolutely
public?
It's fucking public?
Okay,
hearing.
I didn't know those were public.
Absolutely. I would find that's that fascinating because look,
I would have thought they wouldn't have been.
I think if she hadn't have died that night, I don't know what happens. I don't know if she ends up going to the cops.
Probably,
if it was only one person that she left that bar with, and not four people in a car. If it was only one person. She probably lives, and she probably doesn't come out and charge them with rape. Right? It's the huge thing for me with this case is it's such a sad statement about humanity. You have four people in a car, any one of whom could have had the humanity and common sense to stop things and to get this girl home safely and go on their way, and to do what they did, swapping her around, it's horrible. But I do see some gray area here that I think is going to present some challenges. And again, that may be just ignorance as to how things go in this region. And I hope they are, and I hope this jury takes their charge and brings justice and looks at the facts of the case and the facts of the case only. But
it's going to be a lot worse for Madison's family, because if they've gone to this level, Jay Long's gone to this level. What's going to actually be displayed on that video when it comes out in court and everything? They're really going to do character assassination on Madison Brooks, and that's our whole defense. Oh well. She was drunk, but she wasn't so drunk she couldn't walk. And da 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 da. But I told y'all before it was released, there's going to be a video. That many dudes in the car with a beautiful young lady, and and whatever. It's going to be a shit show. But it's a shit show. But I believe justice is going to get done. And whatever the makeup of the jury is, the prosecution, Hiller Moore, and them are going to bring the fucking heat, and those kids are going to get
well. And if Carver took the video and brought the video forward, they must think in their minds that somehow that video provides some kind of exoneration.
And I can guarantee you that was self edited, and they since have been able to go in and retrieve whatever, or they only turned over a portion. And I know another one of the defense attorneys involved in this, and I used to do defense consulting with them, and you know what, that's their job. But I wouldn't fucking touch this one. And they'd call me on this one, I'd be telling you better fucking plead them motherfuckers out best you can, because they're gonna burn their ass. What you're not thinking about is the people that are sitting on that jury. Every one of them is either gonna have a sister or a daughter or a granddaughter or whatever, and they're gonna have a fucking red ass. And this boy's gonna cook.
Yeah. So,
anyway, y'all, we're always gonna talk about Madison Brooks in important cases. And look, I want you to know that we have gotten threats, physical threats, from certain family members, and fuck them too. We're gonna tell it the way we see it. Not being biased. It is what it is.
All right, and we're going to move on, and we're going to go to, we're going to stay right back in Louisiana. Really? We are, and we've got a story we're going to tell you.
We're in Louisiana all day today.
We've been in Louisiana all day. They've had some Louisiana news going down.
It's for real.
This past week. And this next one, look, we're going to post the picture on Facebook because that plays a big part in the story I'm about to tell you. And you're going to believe the picture. A sex offender wanted on active warrants has been arrested after being found living in the Louisiana swamp. The man, Brian Schaller, had an active warrant from the East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Office for violating the terms of the Sex Offender Registry and from the Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office for felony sexual battery and felony oral sexual battery. They added that he was initially indicted in 2015 for distribution of child pornography. Authorities said an anonymous tip came in on Tuesday, March 12th, that Shaler was possibly living in the Sherburne Wildlife Management Area in the Atchafalaya Basin. Now, I used to hunt in that area. They have public deer hunting
there. It's hard, and squirrel and everything else. That's hard-ass hunting.
Hard-ass hunting.
It is
swamp. You go whole seasons without seeing a horn.
If there is ever a definition of swamp, the Atchafalaya Basin is it.
That's it. And for those that may not know, it's located just east of Lafayette, Louisiana. So they get this information that's where he's hiding out, right? Days later, authorities said a multi-agency team set out to find Shaler and discovered his encampment after walking for about a mile. Shaler was taken into custody without incident. The structure where Shaler was living was built out of tree limbs, a parachute cord, and tarps, according to authorities. They added he also had multiple small game traps around the structure and had created an early warning system out of string and aluminum cans.
Good old style.
Good old style Boy Scout stuff, huh? Authorities said Shaler explained he had been living at the encampment since January and was living off rodents and small game.
Yep.
The U.S. Marshal Service Middle Louisiana Task Force, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and other agencies were involved in the arrest. I want to shout out everyone's favorite banker, Lori Johnson, for sending me that story. I'm going to post it on Facebook. It is some Little House on the Prairie style stuff.
You know that? The
crazy.
What's even crazier? And so on wildlife management areas, you're not allowed to put up any kind of permanent or semi-permanent structure. Like if you carry in a climbing stand, you have to carry back out. You can't put in a ladder deer stand and leave it up or whatever. Yep. I'm betting somebody was out there calling for turkeys, trying to find them on the roost, and saw this dude and like, they don't know who he is.
Right.
It's obviously, but the game wardens run the management areas, and usually they have a game warden that lives on the edge of each management area. You have a tag in, tag out system. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, hey, some dude in there fucking up my turkey spot. Go check him out.
And look, you got all kinds of agencies jumping on board, but really this guy, I'm glad they caught him and he's going to face the music, as he
deep in the Atchafalaya. You should have gone a little bit deeper, honey. Yep. Homie.
Well, that's some bitches big. Enough.
The Atchafalaya Basin is one of the biggest swamps in the United States of America.
Probably you get turned only around quick in there too.
Is that when you're
going to Parish Forensics. Yeah. We're going to cross the Atchafalaya.
But there's also like lakes with trees in the middle.
That's all the same thing. It's all part of it.
That's right.
But there's swamp area where it's dense forest like this, and it opens up into those lakes. What you're seeing is sticking out of the water is the old growth cypress that they cut 200 years ago for logging.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So you get turned around in there, everything looks
shit.
You go hunting in there. You better have a compass.
You got lost.
Everything looks alike, y'all.
I have a great sense of direction, but I can tell you that up on Red River, I've gotten turned around.
Yeah,
especially if you're trailing an animal that blood trailing an animal, you get turned around because they'll make loops and shit. Then you're like, holy fuck, where am I?
Yeah. And you'll freak out. You start freaking out real quick.
Yeah.
I've done that.
So. Yeah, I find nothing about that. Interesting at all. It's not something I want to do.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, we need a love story. So let's
is it Louisiana too?
No, we're going to go to New York. Actually, we're going to Western New York. So we're close to Buffalo, New York. We're not down by the city.
Buffalo.
This is a tragic love story. A love story between a man and his gator.
Oh,
what the fuck's he got a gator in Buffalo, New York for?
I hope there's a crime in this world.
There is a crime.
Hey, by the way,
relax.
You slipped in some shit while I was gone. You think I was
going
to listen to
that
episode?
Well, Jim, I told him you were going to listen.
Sanction away. Yep. Well, I'm bringing it up with the board. B-O-R-E-D.
B-O-R-E-D. T-shirt.
Well, maybe it's not too late to save Albert the Gator. A Western New York community is rallying behind a man who kept an ailing 11-foot, 750-pound alligator in a pool inside his home where children were invited to come swim with the gentle giant.
What?
Swear to God. So the 34-year-old reptile was seized Wednesday from the Hamburg House, that's Hamburg, New York, the town, which was equipped with an in-ground swimming pool made to look like a pond. The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation said the homeowner, quote, allegedly allowed members of the public to get into the water and pet the unsecured alligator.
Yes.
The massive gator had numerous health-related issues, including blindness in both eyes and spinal complications, according to officials.
He can still eat.
The owner's state license to keep the alligator had expired in 2021. Get a license to have an alligator as a pet, and he had gotten one, but it had expired in 2021. The state determined at that time that the alligator's holding area failed to meet safety standards. Officers took action this week after learning the extent to which the owner was seriously endangering the public. At the time, the DEC determined that owner's facility failed to meet the specific conditions to ensure the gator did not come in contact with humans and did not pose a threat to humans or to the animal itself. To be clear, even if the owner was appropriately licensed, public contact with the animal is prohibited and grounds for license revocation and relocation of the animal. So even if his license had been up to date, the fact that he was allowing neighborhood children to come in and swim with the gator and everything else is grounds for them to have taken them. Possession of an alligator as a pet, however, is also prohibited by New York state law unless, again, you get that special permit. The reptile lover is already fighting back against the seizure of his beloved pet, Albert, who has been with him for 34 years. So Albert's been this guy's pet for 34 years.
Question.
Yeah.
How much do you think a 34-year-old 700-pound alligator eats a day? A fucking
lot.
That's exactly right. And it was a matter of time before he ate one of those kids.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've done stories about, you know, humans being dragged off, or Mike has, humans being dragged off, or dogs being dragged off. And women, the ones... What the fuck do you need an alligator in New York for? A 34-year-old alligator.
It's been
a
700
pet.
Pounds.
I'm bigger than Andre the Giant. He's been his pet for 34 years. He built a pond for him.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you see these people every day that have
animal
black bears
that's native
or
to New York. I don't have any
black bears.
Animal that's native to New York living in my shit. I mean, it gets cold. I guess he had a hell
Miami
of a
Miami Vice had one.
He had a hell of a heat bill when it got cold. It gets cold in Buffalo, New York.
Yes, it does.
Maybe
it's very cold.
Maybe fed them.
It snows an awful. It snows
fed
an awful lot.
Buffalo wings.
Well, you know what? They don't talk about what Albert ate. Let's see. The reptile lovers already fighting back, as I said. As everyone has probably heard, the DEC took Albert away from me, saying that I put people in harm's way with him. Everyone who has met Albert or knows Albert knows that this is not true. This is Tony Cavallaro, who is the owner of Albert. I took care of him better than most people take care of their kids. Cavallaro chalked his permit lapse to recent changes in DEC rules for alligator ownership. He claims he tried to renew his permit, but his attempts were repeatedly ignored by the DEC. Cavallaro said that he was simply trying to get confirmation that his certification would be grandfathered in, which seems reasonable after 34 years of legal alligator ownership. The grieving man accused the DEC of aggressively seizing Albert despite his claim that his only crime was a lapsed permit. They also brought at least 20 or more agents to my house in full body armor with guns drawn, treating me like a criminal. It was like I was a gun-dealing, drug-dealing criminal the way they acted, Cavallaro said. The scene that they made on my street was very disturbing and totally wrong. I'm very upset and angry about the whole incident. Cavallaro has strong support on social media with lots of friends and neighbors vouching for the love and care Albert was provided and the love that the community has for Albert. Many added that Albert was a gentle alligator who didn't pose a threat to the people and children he swam with. State environmental officials haven't decided whether to bring charges against Cavallaro or not. According to the DEC, Albert has been turned over to a licensed caretaker until a place is found where he can receive permanent care.
I got the place for him. Send right on down to Woodrow over.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna tell
make
you,
make some shoes.
You know the tail of an alligator doesn't have bones. It only has a star shaped thing that goes right down the middle of the tail. But that it's a fallacy that the tail meat's the best meat. The best meat is the leg meat.
That's right.
It's the dark meat.
You know, Ric Flair once said, "I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down." He's talking about them shoes he had on.
Yeah.
Fresh
well, there you go. So, I wasn't even thinking about wearing the boots and shit. So I was thinking about eating and frying them.
Jet flying.
In no scenario can you do you not kiss, do you know anyone in this? I mean, there are all these kinds of creatures in Louisiana. You don't know anybody who's taken some in as a pet? Nobody is.
We got gator farms, but for every one that they raise, they have to release one in the wild. And when you catch them in the wild, you know them because they clip. I think it's two of those whatever they think. The spiny things on the tag, but it's not a tag. They clip the two things off, so when you see them in the wild, you know they came from the alligator farm. But sure, I mean, I don't know anybody has a fucking alligator because it costs so much to feed them. Yeah. It's a lot of money. I mean, some bitches are big.
But this guy managed it for 34 years and somehow managed to where – I mean, imagine being a neighbor of this guy and trusting him enough that you're letting your kids swim in the pool without him.
That's called dumbasses.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on.
Sorry, Albert. I tried.
Albert. Look.
I eat Albert.
I want to thank everyone for the messages on this next story. There was a huge call out for an update on a story we brought you last week by a man known as D's Nuts.
Oh God.
There was a lot of people wanting to know how did D's Nuts grow up? You know, we want to know more about D's Nuts. How did a man go from Derek to D's Nuts? And since we brought you that first story, I did a lot of research. I got on the internet, and I wanted to know the origin. I wanted to know everything I could find out about D's Nuts.
D's Nuts.
So after a lot of research, I did discover that in April of 2011, shortly before his 30th birthday, Derek Lee Kroll decided it was time for a change. So the Green Bay resident filled out a 2-page petition for name change, had the document notarized, submitted it along with $164.50 filing fee to a local court, along with his address and date of birth, and listed himself as disabled and affirmed that he was not a sex offender. As for why he wanted to change his name, Kroll provided a brief description. I, without a doubt, and he puts in capital letters on the actual application, hate my name. In place of Derek, Kroll wanted to be known as Des Nuts, D-E-Z Nuts Lee Kroll. Within 2 months of his court application, he appeared before the judge who granted the petition. In short order, Kroll amended his driver's license to reflect his new name. Kroll kept the Deznuts, D-E-Z, handle until September of 2017 when he filed another petition. This time, he asked the court to approve a change in his first name from Deznuts to Deznuts. And sought to have the switch memorialized on his birth certificate.
Nice.
As for the reason for the name change, Kroll wrote, it wasn't spelled right. This was in reference to his 2011 DEZ Nuts application. The name D's Nuts has subsequently appeared on Kroll's divorce filings in 2023, as well as the deed to his Walnut Street resident. Now 42, he is also listed as a defendant in a criminal complaint charging him with battery with a weapon in a March 5th domestic confrontation with his daughter and her boyfriend, both of whom are 19. When cops arrived at Kroll's home, he handed over his state ID with the name D's Nuts Lee Kroll. An officer reported that D's Nuts appeared to be highly intoxicated, but followed officers' commands. I walked up to the top of the stairs and took D's Nuts into custody. The cop added that he also read D's Nuts his Miranda rights. And you know that cop had fun filling out that report. Yeah. When Kroll's daughter called 911, she reported that her father was intoxicated, naked, and was holding a gun. She later told police that Kroll struck her in the head. Officer seized a BB gun that resembled a pistol, and Kroll is free on a $2,000 bond scheduled to appear for an April 24th hearing on his case.
That's
with
great.
D's. You know, so that is the full story of D's Nuts.
Okay, I didn't realize that D's Nuts was from Green Bay.
Yep.
Possibly he was inspired by Shabusiness's name change.
Could be.
Which, you know, changing your name must be a big thing in Green Bay because you know that.
Well, he
you
did
know
it
that,
in 2011.
You know that though. Brett Favre changed his name from Arnold Favre to Brett when he went to the Packers.
It's not true. It's totally.
I know
not
he's
true.
Your hero, Jim.
He's
no,
not. It's not
was,
true.
He was originally
Southern Mississippi.
He was originally Arnold and changed it to Brett.
Originally
when he
Arnold.
Okay, I'm not sure
it's
about.
Made up.
I'm not. That came from the I team. That might not be correct. Okay, but all right. Are you going to have a follow up story on the whooping crane too, or are we at least going to leave that one
well
alone?
I might very well do that. But thank you to the many thousands that reached out wanting to know more
be
about.
Glad
these
you were
nuts.
Here for the freaking thank whooping you. Crane story.
I heard it.
We're going to go to Mississippi, where Officer Michael Christian Green pleaded guilty on Thursday to one count of acting under color of law to deprive a person of his civil rights. This was announced by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of Mississippi. The city of Pearl provided the footage to the federal agents. To treat somebody like that is just despicable, Pearl Mayor Jack Windham said at a Thursday press conference. According to the federal court documents, Green had responded to a report of a family disturbance at a local Sam's Club back in December. There, the officer arrested a man who's been identified only as B.E. Green transferred B.E. to the police department for a booking. Upon arrival, Green placed the man in a holding cell where B ultimately relieved himself in a corner when officers ignored his request to use the bathroom. After moving the man into booking, Green learned of the urine in the holding cell and ordered B.E. to, quote, go suck it up right now. That's according to U.S. Attorney Todd Gein. According to the U.S. Attorney, Green told the man, quote, let me tell you something. You see this phone? I will beat your effing ass with it. You're fixing to go in there and you're going to lick that piss up. Do you understand me? As the man knelt on the ground to comply with the officer's orders, Green took out his cell phone from his duty vest and filmed the man doing it. Don't spit it out, the officer said when the man gagged. Later, after returning to the booking area, the man repeatedly vomited into a trash can. Green did not have a government interest or law enforcement purpose in ordering B.E. to lick his urine, the U.S. attorney wrote. He argued that Green had willfully deprived the man of his constitutional right, quote, not to be deprived of liberty without due process, which includes the right to of a pretrial detainee to be free from conditions of confinement that amount to punishment. Green, who had formerly been employed by the Jackson Police Department and law enforcement Department in Flowood, Mississippi, had joined the Pearl Police in June of 23 with a clean record. The mayor said at a Thursday press conference, there were some personnel issues, Windham said of the officers 6 months on the job, but nothing like this. Green resigned at the end of 2023 following a prompt internal investigation, and he's now slated for sentencing on June 12th. Why would you do that?
No excuse. He's an idiot.
Idiot.
Total idiot.
I mean, is that...
He's broke for it.
Wait, and he's going to prison? They're going to have fun with him.
Loses his job, goes to prison. I mean, Hoover. Filming it himself? Like, he thought this was something to...
Takes all kinds to make the world go round. Evidently, he didn't have to take a psych test.
That's right.
Suck pee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kinky Crimes for Wednesday.
Now, y'all, this is different. There was an assault that happened on June 13th, 1990 in New York City, where a woman reported that she had been assaulted in a strange manner. Someone has shot her in the buttocks with a small homemade needle dart. Now, while that crime was strange enough, she wasn't the only victim of the man armed with a blowgun. From June 13th to July 7th, 55 women.
I remember this.
All of them well-dressed in skirts or business attire were pricked by a dart. Luckily, none of the darts.
In the ass?
Yeah. Luckily, none of the darts were tainted and none of the women were seriously injured.
Yeah.
Bizarre serial assaults came to an end on July 10th when a 33-year-old Jerome Wright was arrested and three witnesses picked him out of a lineup. He was initially charged with second-degree reckless endangerment and harassment, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he was identified, y'all. He faced 7 years in prison, but they were all reduced to misdemeanors, and he didn't have to serve any time in jail. So, seriously, let's think about it. Why would you shoot 55-plus women in the ass with a dart? Because you're jacking off to it. But it just, fetishes and all that shit come on all kinds of different levels, right?
They do.
And that's kinky. And that's Kinky Crimes for...
I think that guy kind of became semi-famous after that and was a little bit of a hero. If I'm remembering it right, maybe it was more that it was a big butt thing for him.
They didn't say that. They didn't discriminate.
He was like Sir Mix-a-Lot.
They didn't discriminate like you, Mike.
He likes big butts and he cannot. Yeah, they don't. That's right. They don't have lookism.
Sexism, lookism. But I'm just fucking with you.
Storyism.
Yeah, storyism.
Storyism. All right. We got a dummy in Cali. And we got a woman. It's not that often that we have a woman dumb criminal. Female dumb criminal. They're
why?
Rarely criminals no and criminals rarely as dumb as male criminals. But in this case, we got a dummy. A woman and her two dogs were zooming down the 10 freeway in downtown LA on Saturday night when patrol officers clocked her at nearly 90 in a 65 mile per hour zone.
Rolling.
The officers immediately gave chase and tried to pull her over, but she refused to stop, instead leading the cops on a wild chase from downtown LA all the way through the West Side, all the way to the Pacific Ocean in Venice Beach.
Mm.
You guys been to Venice Beach?
Mm-mm.
Mm. Something to see. Muscle Beach is there, Venice Beach. Of course, the woman would have to stop once she hit the beach in Venice, right?
Not if she had a James Bond's versatile car.
Well, she had a BMW X3.
20,000 leagues under the sea.
No, she should have stopped there, but she didn't. Apparently, today's genius thought her late model BMW X3 had come equipped with amphibious drive, and it hadn't. The woman drove the Beamer all the way across the wide beach at Venice and into the rough Pacific surf. That Venice beach is like Santa Monica Beach.
Where there's
like
ass.
An eighth of a mile of beach. It's not like you got 100 yards of beach. You got all of this beach.
Not to get stuck, yeah.
And so she drives it all the way into the surf. She's a moron, but she's also a piece of shit because she managed to get out of the car and began swimming out into the Pacific. But in doing so, she left her two, well, I shouldn't say her two, because we don't know if she was the actual owner or not, but she left two Boston Terriers behind in the car.
Close your ears, Miss Jerry.
The abandoned dogs were still inside the BMW, which was knocked on its side by the nasty surf. The Boston Terriers were rescued by lifeguards. It was something out of an action movie with this car barreling through the sand and plunging into the water, an onlooker named Sarah Jane, who was visiting from England, said. The woman was pulled from the rolling waves after swimming like a professional athlete from the doomed car and towards the Venice Pier, where a crowd had gathered to watch. While onlookers on the pier tried to help by yelling out to the woman, some were not as supportive once they discovered the driver had left two dogs in the car. Video footage shows the dramatic moment. Two lifeguards approached the submerged car, holding flashlights while looking for any other passengers. As one lifeguard peers in, he motions to the other lifeguard, suggesting someone is in the vehicle. Next thing you know, we see the lifeguard opening the backseat door with waves slamming against the car, only to pull out the Boston Terrier. The lifeguard is then seen walking back towards the sand where two red lifeguard pickup trucks are parked and other onlookers are watching in disbelief. Another dog, another Boston Terrier, managed to get out of the car and was seen nervously scampering around on the sand until someone picked him up and held onto him. The woman was seen paddling in the water while an LA Sheriff's Department boat attempted to rescue her by tossing a flotation donut into the ocean, where she grabbed onto it and was then finally hoisted onto the boat. Both dogs were picked up by animal control. The woman was taken to the hospital and the dogs remained with animal care services. The next morning, beachgoers were unaware of the incident and surprised to find a car being towed from outside of the Pacific Ocean back onto land. The front window of the car was shattered and mounds of sand could be seen in the front and back seat. Skid marks in the sand could also be seen. Someone joked that it was an early start to St. Paddy's Day on Venice Beach. The CHP is withholding the identity of the woman, saying they will release it this week. Miraculously, everyone except the driver walked away without a scratch, including the doggies. The motorist was briefly treated at a hospital for minor injuries. She's a dumbass and a dumbass that didn't take care of her dogs. I guess her plan was to swim to Hawaii. And during that 3,000-mile swim, she could have enjoyed hours and hours of banjo music.
It's amazing.
She is a dumb,
24 hours dumb to tow a car out. Probably the tow company was like, fuck that, I'm not getting that water.
Yeah.
And then you get the back.
Well, it happened at night. It happened at night, so the next morning is when they towed the car out. But she'd be a dummy.
Yeah, she's dumb as fuck.
All right.
I think maybe she stole those dogs. That hasn't come out yet.
Probably stole the car, too.
I think she stole them from D's Nuts.
She might have.
Any final thoughts?
Yes. Once again, thankful and appreciate each and every one of y'all. We love y'all. Please continue to like and share and all that good podcaster shit.
Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Neglats.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.